This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Come on, get this through your head. Whatever it is God is dealing with you about right now, God is not ever trying to just take something away from us or just make us miserable. Everything that God leads us to do is for our benefit. I really want people to study the Bible, not just read it, but study it. And the first three chapters of Ephesians are all about how much God loves us, the grace of God, just His mercy, His forgiveness, our inheritance in Christ, who we are in Christ. And that has to be the foundation of our walk with God. Before we ever get around to teaching people how to behave right, we must teach them who they are in Christ. And so I try in my teaching to keep a good balance of that. I teach a lot on behavior, do this, don't do this. But I always work in who we are in Christ, because if you try to teach people how to behave without them knowing how much God loves them and that His love for them is not based on their behavior, if that's all we teach people, which a lot of religious organizations are very guilty of that, and it just frustrates people no end. If we teach people right, then they can have a great deal of success and growth in their relationship with God. How many of you want to really grow up, mature, and be the person that God wants you to be? Well, good, you're in the right place this morning. Now, I was pretty astounded this morning when I counted them, but just in Ephesians chapter 4, he deals with 16 different behaviors. 16. Now, we may get all 16, we may only get 12, but thank God for tonight. And he doesn't let up in chapter 5 or chapter 6. So, if you really want to grow, this is a place to be this morning, tonight, tomorrow morning. But remember, God loves you. I'm going to keep throwing that in there so everybody can just stay comfortable. John 14, 15. Very simple little scripture, but so powerful. If you really love me, you will obey my commands. I love it. If you really love me, Jesus said, this is Jesus talking. If you really love me, you will obey my commands. And I think it's even proper to say, to whatever degree we are obeying God, it's to that degree that we love Him. Now, I believe that our love for Him can grow. And as it grows, we will find new levels of obedience in our life. And how many of you figured out that many times if you're going to obey God, it's going to require some kind of a sacrifice on your part to be able to do that? But here again, God's not trying to take anything away from you. You got to give up something to get something. You can't have what you want and keep everything you got. Let me say it again. You can't have what you want and also keep everything you've got. You can clap. That's okay. I thought it was good enough for a clap. Now, this scripture does not say, if you obey me, I will love you. That's not what it says. What it says is, if you love me, you will obey me. We have to go back to chapters 1, 2, and 3. God loves us. He chose us while we were still yet in sin and so far away from God that it was absolutely pathetic. He came and got in the middle of our mess, and He offered us a relationship with Him. We did not deserve it. We can never deserve it. God is good. And the fact that He is so good should make us also want to be so good for Him. Amen. God's goodness should provoke me to want to be good for Him. Now, why is this so important? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, and we've already noticed that he keeps saying that over and over, I am a prisoner for the Lord. And I guess if he's saying it that often, we should take notice that Paul was willing to suffer in order to bring us the messages that we hear today. Anytime you want to do something good, now listen to me, anytime you want to do something good for somebody else, it's going to cost you a little something. You think it doesn't cost me anything to do this? It absolutely certainly does. This is my life. This is what I do. But you know what? You know what God gives me back? Man, I got peace. I've got joy. I feel fulfilled. You know what? I could die tonight and say, man, I have had a great ride. I have had an awesome life. I can stand here right now and tell you that I don't look back and regret anything. I mean, there's some choices I made I wish I wouldn't have made, but I feel like I'm doing what God wants me to do. But it takes a sacrifice to do it. And I remember all the years when I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do, and I was unhappy and blaming everybody else and blaming Dave and blaming circumstances and blaming. And it wasn't everybody else. It was me. And until we take responsibility for where we're at, and where you're at may not be your fault, but if you stay there, it is your fault. Amen. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk and lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that we are ambassadors for Christ, that we are his direct representatives in the earth. And listen to this, that God is making his appeal to the world through us. I don't know about you, but that's kind of awe-inspiring to me. That God is going to get to other people through us, through me, through you. You say, well, Joyce, I'm not a preacher. Yeah, you are. Really, you are. You may not do it like this, but you are. Your life is preaching at work. Your life is preaching in your neighborhood. Your life is preaching in how you relate to people every place that you go. Your life is a sermon. And Christians are Christ followers. That's what we are. When Jesus said, follow me, he spoke the two greatest words for leadership that we will ever hear. All a leader really needs to do is be an example for other people to follow. Paul said, follow my example. Wow. I wonder what people would think if I stood up here and said, listen, if you just follow my example, you're going to be doing everything right. Well, you'd probably think I was full of myself, and maybe I would be. I don't know. But Paul said that. Follow my example. Well, you know what? I think, honestly, we all should be able to say that. We all should be able to say, if you follow my example, you're going to be doing what God wants you to do. You know, one of the songs that we sang earlier, and I noticed people kind of had a good response, let my deeds outweigh my words. And I think that's so important. You know, talk is cheap. And what we say can affect people. But if we say one thing and do the opposite, it actually has a very negative effect on people. And that's one of the reasons why religion and religious people in many instances have really turned people off. Because they can act like they're too good to even speak to anybody else that's not like them. And just the very fact that they do that is a message that doesn't minister Christ's character to them. So it's very important. I think there's a lot of things that are important that we don't think are important anymore. I think it's important that we take care of ourselves and do the best we can. I think it's important that we look our best when we go out. I better be careful. I'll get myself in trouble. But. You know, I know I come from another generation, but, and I guess whatever you're born into, you just don't get over it. But, you know, everybody's casual today. Well, Maybe that's well and good, I don't know, but our morals have gotten kind of casual too. And so we need to make sure that it doesn't drift over into everything in our lives. I think instead of being casual, we need to be careful. The Bible says be careful about how you behave and be careful about your thoughts and be careful what you do with your time and be careful the words that you speak. You say, boy, this is sounding like a full-time job, this Christian stuff. Well, it is. You can't just serve God with 10% of your time and ever do it right. You got to get in, get out, or get run over. Amen? And that's a good word for today. Get in, get out, or get run over, but stop sitting on the fence being lukewarm. If we're going to follow God, it's time to follow Him with our whole heart. Matthew 21, 18 and 19. In the early dawn the next morning, He was coming back to the city and He was hungry. This is Jesus. Jesus was hungry. And as He saw one single leafy fig tree above the roadside, He went to it, but He found nothing on it but leaves. Seeing that in the fig tree, the fruit appears at the same time as the leaves, He said to it, "Never again shall fruit grow on you," and the fig tree withered up at once and died. Now, you know, I used to say I felt sorry for this fig tree because I didn't understand why Jesus cursed it just because it didn't have what He wanted it to have. But the thing about the fig tree is it had leaves, and when a fig tree gets leaves, it's supposed to have fruit. And I think a lot of Christians have leaves and no fruit. Amen. We go to church, we've got a bumper sticker, we hang a cross around our neck, we know a little bit of Christianese language. Come on. We've got our headphones, we take our Bible to work. But fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, meekness. Those are the things that the world needs to see. Do you have proper fruits that back up your claim of being a Christian? Do you examine the fruit of other people to see if they're the real deal? Or are you merely impressed by what they say? Nothing leads to deception quicker than being impressed by what somebody says and not paying any attention to the real fruit or lack of fruit in their life. Verse 2 talks about attitudes that are proper for the Christian. Ephesians 4:2, living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind, humility, meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness, with patience, bearing with one another, and making allowances because you love one another. Well, to be honest, that could keep most of us busy for the rest of our lives, and we're only in verse 2. Now, I could quickly go through here and tell you what have been some of the weaknesses in my life. I was pretty selfish for a long time. Selfish Christian, selfish preacher. What about me? And then the Lord finally said to me, you can't be selfish and be happy. Can I tell you today, you can't be selfish and be happy. If your life's all about you, you're not going to be happy. Thank you for the 10 people that like that. Gentleness, that was a real difficult thing for me to come by because I had a real harsh, hard father. And because of being sexually abused, I had a hardness on my heart. And so things just came out of me in a heart. Plus, I've got a real aggressive nature and a deep voice. And so all that combined, I had a hard time sounding sweet. I mean, it was just challenging. And patience, of course, is still something that I'm, But hey, thank God I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I need to be, but I'm so glad I'm not where I used to be. Amen? And some things I'm real patient with. I mean, I can wait on God now. I've even learned to be fairly patient with myself. But I tell you what, man, if I don't feel good and somebody's not moving as fast as I want them to, it's like, whew. We had something funny happen last week. Well, you know, it's kind of sad, but it's funny. We were in another city, and I was on my way to speak at a college there. And we had to cross the railroad tracks, and there was the thing blocking off the railroad tracks was down, and all the lights were flashing. But there was no train. And I mean, we had this huge long line of traffic. Well, we finally understood this thing must be stuck because people are turning around in droves going back the other way. So we had to turn around, take a different route. Well, now I'm thinking we're going to be late. Well, there's nothing that I hate worse than being late for one of my own things. I just can't stand to get to these meetings late. I feel responsible, and I want to be here to make sure that everything is happening the way that it should be happening. So I can get a little bit testy if it looks like I'm... How many of you have little buttons that can be pushed that, you know? So, Dave is very good about stopping to let people in. Because he's like, nice. So here I'm like, and this guy's trying to pull out of a side street, and Dave's slowing down. And I said, this is not the time to be nice. And he's been teasing me about that ever since. He said, this is great. You're on your way to preach. And this is not the time to be nice. So let me just say, if you still got a ways to go, I get it. I'm with you. I totally understand. Humility is so important. I guess humility is probably the cardinal virtue. If there's anything that we really need to pray for, make a special point of study. Andrew Murray says you're never going to walk in humility if you don't pray for it and study it and really work with the Holy Spirit to have it developed in your life. And humility is, it's the opposite of pride, and pride is the root of all sin. That was this sin that Lucifer committed. I will. And so we need to learn more about humility and keep that in our hearts at all times. And, you know, there's a 4-part series that we could do on humility, but we don't have time to do that today. And so let me just say this. A humble person never thinks that they're better than other people. They just don't think like that. And they remember that they have weaknesses too. But for the grace of God, there go I. And we're very good at whatever we're good at. We judge other people who are not good at what we're good at. But we forget, and that's covered in chapter 4 too, that everything that we are good at is a gift from God. It's not something we just have ourselves. It's something that has been given to us. And this is why thankfulness is so important. Thank you, God, that I have the ability to do this, but I know that it's your grace. Help me not to be impatient and haughty with people who can't do what I can do. And I love it when people humble themselves to do something that they really wouldn't have to do. That's showing that they don't think they're the end-all of everything. And there's so many things that we can do that will let other people know. Like my husband, he sits in every one of these meetings. And Dave laughs at my jokes, although he's heard them 1,000 times before. He knows what I'm going to say half the time before I say it. And I don't know if he is or not, but the man looks really interested all the time. I mean, he honestly looks interested. And I think that says a lot about character. See, what we're looking for today is character in an age of image. Today, everything is about image. How many people are on my Facebook? How many people responded to my tweet? Boy, now we've got Periscope and Snapchat, and I mean, it just keeps going on and on and on. I got lost at the selfies. I cannot stand around and take pictures of myself all day. It just doesn't work for me. It just doesn't. And besides that, I end up looking like I've got a real. I mean, I've tried a few times, and it just does not turn out right. Amen? I love to see people who have a servant's heart and who, now listen to me what I'm going to say, and who do things that will make other people feel better. Let's do things to make other people feel better. You know, there's a lot of speakers that don't show up during the worship. I'm always in our worship. Always in our worship. I will not sit in the back room during worship. I'm here to worship God. The worship helps prepare me for the preaching. And a lot of places where I go to teach, they'll say to me, well, what time do you want to go out? I said, right now. I want to be there. I want to be in the worship. See, if we're only showing up somewhere just to do our part. I'm not here just to come out on the platform and be the big star. I'm here to participate with everybody else in worshiping God and learning and growing. Amen? And that's important. Dave's always here right from the beginning. Once in a while, when he goes out on Friday night and signs books, people keep him a little bit longer, but he's always, always, always in here. You know, one of the most important things that we see about Jesus is found in John 13. He washed his disciples' feet. It says he took off his garment and he put on a servant's towel. And when he was finished, he laid aside the towel and put back on his garment. And there's such a message there. We may have a cloak of authority and we may have a cloak of importance or whatever it is, but we need to be willing to lay that aside sometimes and put on a servant's towel, and then when we're done doing the menial thing God wants us to do, you can put it back on and walk in the thing that you're called to do. Thank you. Somebody likes this. All right, patience. Wow. We're only in verse 2. I'm in trouble. Being patient with the timing of God is so important in our lives. The Bible says the patient in spirit is better than the proud. And listen, James 1:4, man, we've heard this and heard it, but this is a mouthful. Let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. This scripture is saying that if a person can ever become fully patient, there will be a mature person lacking in nothing. You know what that means? If I'm completely patient, I'm happy no matter what's going on in my life. Wouldn't that be cool? Now remember, God has given us His grace. It's a free gift. And peace comes along with grace. And by using that grace and peace, it helps us with our actions and our behaviors. Because really, no matter what we say, if we don't have the behavior to back it up, it doesn't do any good. There are 16 different behaviors mentioned in Ephesians 4. We talked about a few of them today, but I know you can get insight on the rest of the chapters. Today we're offering you, and I'm so excited about this offer. This is just now coming out for the first time. Our Ephesians and James commentary. What a commentary is it takes it verse by verse and literally comments in a way that helps you have a deeper and a clearer understanding on what the Scripture is saying. This is how you study the Word of God. And I really want to help you learn how to study and to get as much out of the Bible as you possibly can. Now stay with us because I'll be right back after this to pray for you.
Bible study is the key to understanding the amazing life God created you to live. And with Joyce's practical down-to-earth style, you can discover how life-changing it can be. Today we're offering Joyce's newest release, the Biblical Commentary Series, Ephesians and James, for your donation of $35 or more. Contact us right now at joycemeyer.org or call toll-free 1-800-727-9673.
Well, today is a very special day here at Joyce Meyer Ministries. We call it our celebration of prayer. While we have prayer teams that pray for our friends and partners every day, today our entire staff will be praying for you, whether it's for your healing, salvation of a loved one, a relationship, your finances, whatever the need, we want to lift you up in prayer. And if you haven't already sent in your prayer request, it's not too late. You can send it to us online. But right now, I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for everybody that's watching today. I know that there's a lot of people hurting. There are those that are celebrating, but there are those that are really hurting. And I pray that whatever their needs are, you will meet them, whether it's for healing or finances or relationships, whatever the need is. I ask you to give them the answers that they need, give them the direction that they need, and the grace to follow through and do what you show them to do. We thank you, Lord, for your power that comes to us through prayer, enabling us to do whatever it is that we need to do in Jesus' name. And also, don't forget to pray for us. You know, we're a family, and there's power when we join together and pray for one another. Now, have a great day.
Hey, we're in Hammond, Louisiana, one of the poorest parishes in Louisiana, and so the need here is immense. So we're here partnering with My Daily Bread, and they've been working in this whole parish for years. They really weren't feeding in one location. They were taking it out, and it was a lot of manpower, a lot of driving around. So we came along, and they had just bought this building, and it was all dilapidated, and they wanted to turn it into a feeding center. But they needed the funding, so Hand of Hope, Joyce Meyer Ministries, came alongside them and provided all the funding for everything you see here. And they have some extra warehouse space on the back of there, which has really improved what they can do as far as storage of food. They're feeding between 100 and 150 people each day, and it's just the beginning, honestly. They're just kind of getting it started, so it's a great day.
Get a renewed purpose for your life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer.
I'm here to tell you tonight that you do not have to stay broken. You can live the life that Jesus died to give you.
The Joyce Meyer Conference. Three unique sessions of practical biblical teaching to help you relax, refresh, and recharge your life. For more information and a complete conference schedule, visit joycemeyer.org or call 1-866-C-JOYCE.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.